Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey everybody, welcome to More Than That. So this week we started a new series. We just ended Exodus and we started the series, Why Do We Do That? And we're going to be parking ourselves in the back half of Acts 2, specifically verses 42 through 47. We're going to be doing that all the way throughout May until we get to our next series. So this week, Raphael had the opportunity to kind of unpack why do we gather together. So Raphael, who is sitting across from me, if you had an extra 10 minutes or so to unpack something new or explain something a little bit deeper, what would you have said?
I think one of the things that at least I would have done, and I realized it a little bit later. And we've done this, like, when we walk through our Discover City Church, mm-hmm. is really explain the need for community, the need for why is it important for you to belong to a community, So what I would have spent some time doing, I would have actually gone back into our... what we usually go through when we talk about community, which is from the beginning, you hear God. God shows up into the world to, you know, he creates. And you hear God saying, let us create man in our image. But then before we actually go into man created in the image of God, we have to understand the whole idea that we see God in Scripture and in Revelation, in Scripture, revealing himself as three in one.
Yeah.
And so we have to look and see that from within the core of who God is, God exists in community. The idea of the Trinity becomes very hard for people to process. There's a sense in which you will never understand.
Mm-hmm.
You will never understand the idea, but yet really, like, there's this, like, what the Latin fathers call una substantia tres personas, which is actually like one substance but three beings we see in, and they're not separate, because that's where the issue comes in. They're not separate. So God exists in community, right? And then mm-hmm. so from within the revelation of Scripture, we see that God exists in community. He exists in community. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit loves the Father and loves the Son. Mm-hmm. And there's this equal union that's there, that's just like they celebrate this community. And it's a holy community. Right, it's a holy community that just enjoys fellowship, and but yet it's, and then this community is one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not three gods; it's one God, who is one God. And so when God finally says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us create man; let us make man in our image." It also already kind of takes you there. You see man created in the image of God, becoming a living soul. He walks around the garden. He walks around the Garden of Eden, and he's naming animals. He's doing all these things, and he's seeing. And you can see, like, every single one of these animals that are there do have companionship, and mm-hmm. and they have the ability to be fruitful and to multiply, and 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 to produce after their own kind. But God finally looks and he says, it is not good for men to be alone. The first not good is when God looks, God who exists in community, looks at man and say and sees man who's not existing in community, mm-hmm. right? Yes, he's enjoying the presence of God, enjoying community with God, but yet there is still something missing, and that's when he makes him a woman, a helper fit for him, and then all of a sudden, like out of man, she's made, and then so Eve then completes the community aspects for Adam, and they multiply from that. But what happens when sin? So then that just kind of tells us we were created to exist in community. Mm-hmm. To exist in community, we were created to enjoy communion with God and to exist in community with one another.
Yeah.
But what sin comes in and does is that it comes and shatters that community. It shatters the vertical community with God. Mm-hmm. And then, so all of a sudden, now we are rebelling against God, and so community with God is broken. But then we rebel. We kind of, that's where you see Adam is blaming Eve, and all of a sudden, mm-hmm. it's just this, like, your desire is going to be for your husband. That's part of the curse. And so sin shatters community. Because that word desire is not a love word. It's a word of like you're going to try to overrule your husband and manipulate mm-hmm. him and do all that, but he's going to crush you. So sin just brings like what Cornelius Plantinga, not Alvin, Cornelius Plantinga says, sin vandalizes shalom.
That's a good, right? I like that.
And it's just really like this violation of the world. And so there, sin breaks, it shatters community, but then Christ comes in now and he restores community,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a reason why those commandments were there, even commandments. The rest of the commandments from commandment 5 all the way to 10, they are all about community.
Mm-hmm.
Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not mm-hmm. do not lie. Do not, you know, all those things. Do not covet. It's because sin shatters community, you know. And eventually Christ comes, and it's only in Christ that community is restored.
Mm-hmm.
Christ takes this bunch of people that don't even look. He comes and becomes flesh, and he comes in and then takes people that clearly don't agree with one another, mm-hmm. clearly. And he comes in, creates, and he gives a new commandment, love one another.
Yeah.
And so that's really just like at least like maybe on the back end of what we're talking about before we can even get to Exodus 19 where he's making them a kingdom of priests.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and because of what Christ has done, this new man he has created, it is the reason then why we gather. We gather with like saved people,
mm-hmm.
like renewed people, and we gather so that we can actually practice this new manish, the fact that we're family, we're the household of God, we're family. And so we gather then so that we can enjoy together, enjoy Jesus together, and then join. So the gospel creates a family. And then after that, enjoy partnering with our Lord in making him known.
Yeah. Yeah?
So that's my 10 minutes there. It was just, have pulled back to go maybe and just to show... Why is it that we're so against community? It's because sin shatters community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and well, like you said, like sin shatters that vertical community first, and then mm-hmm. it shatters the horizontal.
The horizontal, yeah.
And like as you were bringing up the New Testament, one of the things that I thought was the Ten Commandments are commandments about community in general.
Mm-hmm. Community with God.
Community with God first.
Yeah.
And then community with fellow man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it just got me thinking, like, when you read Exodus 20, whenever you get those commandments, think about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do these commandments, these first four, really help me in community or communion with God? And then how do these commandments help me in community or communion with other people? So we're getting that horizontal and vertical.
Yeah.
Kind of more of a preventative strategy. Strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a lot in there that just like I only have like a couple things written down. But like you could easily like pull so many different things. So like you brought up the Trinity, like super contentious doctrine. So could you help like explain a little bit of like what the Trinity is, specifically because we are made in God's image, and because the Trinity is in community, explain a little bit of like what the Trinity actually is beyond just Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because it's a difficult thing to unpack. And maybe even if you want to go into why, like, the language that the Latin fathers used.
Yeah.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, it was ousia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, ousia. So,
yes,
got the homo ousia and then the homoiousia. Yeah. So, like, kind of include, like, what's the difference there between homoousia and homoiousia?
Yeah.
I know that's deep, but that's what this is for.
Yeah, but so obviously, like here, we're talking about the historical development of of that word, the Trinity. And so when you come down, I think maybe first of all, we have to acknowledge this. First of all, kind of maybe pull back. And acknowledge that the word Trinity is never used in the Bible.
Yeah, which is a major objection for certain
people. Yeah. So it's a big turnoff. So I know a lot of people that would just be like, okay, hey, so it's not used, or even the doctrine of Trinitarianism, it's not used directly in the Bible, but yet at the same time, it's actually like it was birthed out of just like really looking at the biblical evidence that's there, where, you know, like looking at scripture, it was very crucial for Christianity when Christianity was still like really, like I'm talking about first, second, third century, it was crucial for them to actually to understand who is God, what do we see God as in scripture. And then at the same time, at that time, like there was now heresies that were coming up that were denying who Jesus is.
Yeah,
they were saying, okay, Jesus is a created being, and but now if you literally like agreed that Jesus was a created being, that threatened your whole salvation.
Yeah,
right. And then that like if Jesus was an angel, that threatened your salvation, because now it threatened the uttermost of like you and what you were saved, who it is that was saving you. So the essential elements of the Trinity is that God is one.
Yeah. That's found in Deuteronomy.
Yeah. Deuteronomy 6.
Yep.
And then that each person within the Godhead is deity. And then so the oneness of God and the threeness of God are not contradictory in the Trinitarian doctrine. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they are all eternal. And then so each of the persons is of the same essence, which is now una substantia, and they are not inferior or superior to the other in essence. That's actually where the issue was at, where you know, you've got Arius, and so this is The reason why I was laughing is because this is, you're taking me to my PhD work here.
That's, I didn't want to like bring it up, but I knew that
on the week I graduate, right? On the week I graduate, you want to see whether did this guy get legitimately get what he said he got, right?
Anyway. Did he really earn it? Let's make him earn his keep.
So, but yet we need to actually script, and this is actually where we look and we say, you know, the Trinity is a mystery and we'll never be able to understand it fully. But there is a lot of places where you see this doctrine there, where you see it in Scripture. So when people were trying to walk through the Bible and understand, we see the Father, we see the Son, we see the Holy Spirit. Like, for example, at the baptism of Jesus, you see all three of them there. And then so with that said, you see there is, I think the question that you were asking was what led to what I would say the Council of Nicaea 325.
Was not the biblical canon.
Yeah, it was not the biblical canon, please. If we can agree on that, the Bible is already established. The main books of the Bible are already in circulation and all that stuff. And so because of the spread of the Arian heresy, which denied the deity of Christ and the unity, and even the future, and just really the unity and the Christianity was just under attack during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, Constantine is newly converted, and he wants to see the unity of the church still remain.
Yeah.
And part of that as well, like, because he has his own motives, so I don't really fully trust him when it comes to some of that stuff. We can talk about that later. But then the issue there and at that council, this is like how they used to solve most of this. They would bring a lot of people, like influential Christian bishops, mm-hmm. and they would come and they would spend months having the dispute and talk through reading scripture and having to come down. So mm-hmm. the issue there was Christ fully God? Or was he created? Or was he a subordinate? Was he a created and a subordinate being?
Mm-hmm.
So Arius was saying only God the Father is eternal, and then Athanasius said Christ is co-eternal with the Father, right? Co-eternal with the Father. Why? Yeah. Because you don't get eternal life if he's not co-eternal with mm-hmm. the Father.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Son, and then this is what Arius would say, the Son had a beginning, and as the first and the highest created being, and then, you know, according to Revelation, we see Athanasius comes in and says, no, Christ had no beginning, the Son and the Father are of the same essence.
Mm-hmm.
And Arius would say, the Son is not one of one in essence with the Father, and then at the same time, and he would say Christ is subordinate to the Father. He is called God as an honorific title. So what Arius was saying, he was like, he just, and bless his heart, there's a reason why he was doing that. It was also just like wanting to preserve the oneness of God.
Yeah.
But then, and he would deny why even places where where, for example, like whether it's Isaiah chapter 7 that says he is God with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so at the end of the day, that's where now the council came up with the creed, and the results from that council, the creed was that we believe in one Lord Jesus, the true God of true God. I love this. Not made of one substance with the Father. Because if he was made, then there's no way he can actually now be involved in actually rescuing mankind.
Yeah.
And then this is what the council said, but those who say there was a time when he was not, and before being begotten, he was not, these the Catholic Church, and we're not talking about Roman Catholic here, the Catholic Church, we're talking about the Universal Church at that time, anathematizes, which is actually we exclude them, they're not believers, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, which is actually another council coming later, the way they say the Holy Spirit wasn't God. But then how do you get saved then if it's like that? So out of that came out homoousia, the same substance, right, statement, which created conflict. Because the Arians were talking about, like, they interpreted homoousia and basically, like, in a way where they were saying, basically in a modalistic way, which is like...
The way that I like to think about it is like masks.
Yeah, there you go. That God basically, like, he takes off one mask and he puts on another. He takes off another one. But really, like, you know, you're getting to see there. It's not going to be until probably at the Council of Constantinople in 381 where there's also, like, the issue there is that is the Holy Spirit fully God? Like, and then so as they're really wrestling with all that stuff, they finally come down to, like, yeah, we see the Holy Spirit is God. We see Jesus is God, but we know God is one. And but at the same time, there's a lot of times where we see God, you know, for example, Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. But then in the New Testament, you see, for example, 1 Timothy 1:17, 1 Corinthians 8:4 to 6, you know, 1 Timothy 2, James 2:19. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the God be honor. And he's talking about Christ there. That, like, you know, like Christ is also God. And then, but you see that there are many more passages where you get to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus himself says, go and baptize them out in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which are persons versus actually like, hey, I'm just saying baptize them in the name of God. That's it.
Well, and, you know, it's like when you think about it, the modern modalists, they're going to say, well, I mean, look at Acts. Look at Acts. They didn't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They baptized in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So therefore, Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Son. Like, he's all of it. So it's like, yeah, you're making some, you know, maybe a category mistake here. Like, you're throwing that... to use another Trinitarian term, the hypostatic union that is which is just basically the union between the divine and the human in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. You're taking that and you're attributing that to something different. So that would be why it's a category mistake. You're just throwing it in the wrong place. But I think the cool part is because you mentioned in the sermon that theology then is not from earth to throne, it's throne to earth. Something like that. That's kind of how I imagined it.
That was... And once again, once you kind of just think of it that way, if it's thrown down, you know, we can see, for example, like we can see the plurality of the Godhead like all over scripture, right? We can see the use of singular, you know, like just like where, you know, in the name of the God, the Father, God, the Son, you know, in the name of the Son, the Holy Spirit. And yeah, we're seeing there's a unity, but then we're seeing there's a distinction there. And we're seeing, you know, we're seeing even just like, for example, there are many passages and I can probably... many passages where you're seeing the persons of the same essence, you're seeing the three persons of the Trinity sharing the same attributes. Like you're sharing where, for example, the eternality, you know, there's the eternality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. they share where we see they all have power, they all have omniscience, omnipresence, holiness, truth. Yeah. You know, all those are the things. And you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I think it's a mystery. And that's now like where we have to at least agree that like we don't have to figure out God.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, we can't figure out God.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like little mortals. Like our minds are only so big.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to comprehend the infinite, and that just a finite thing comprehending the infinite, you just can't do it.
Yeah, it's like those, I don't know if you've tried, like, I have an old iPad that cannot update anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It cannot update anymore because new software has been put out.
Which the old hardware can't fit.
It has no capacity of processing such.
Yeah.
It has no capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's actually now like where it's like, because the chip in there is way smaller, and take that and blow it up infinitely more times. Yeah. And so I know a lot of people usually kind of wrestle, oh, the Trinity is not in the Bible. That's like, that was just man's way of taking what they were seeing in scripture and trying to make sense of it But at the same time, and that's actually like where... it's going to be very important to let scripture, I think what's important is actually like, where is it in scripture? Where is it? Man, I'm struggling to see that. It doesn't make sense. But then we become like, we're like, God, man, I see you move. I know that, for example, I know your spirit lives in within me. Because man, like there was a day when like, evil was so unrestrained in me, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it, and I did it. But then there was that day when I actually believed that the Son of God came, died on my behalf, and he forgave my sins, and that day changed. Now I kind of enjoy sin the same way, because the Spirit of God is in me. So I know that there's a difference, and that's now like where we have to really lean towards like, okay, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. There are things that I probably will never figure out. I am like that old iPhone that has no way to process this new software, you know.
But that's the beauty of the resurrection.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So
oh,
that
yeah. Yeah.
Whenever Paul says the corruptible or the...
Yeah.
The way that he uses it is the Greek is sarx. So like that sarkos body that we have, that corruptible carnal flesh, to you know use
that
the,
is too
use,
limited
is thrown off for what is now the incorruptible body or the pneuma. So you have that. It's like, okay, now we're not just getting software updates anymore. We're getting quite literally a hardware update. You know, yes, we will look the same. Like the iPad has looked, the base iPads.
Yeah, the basic. It's just
they look the exact same from the initial like inception of the iPad with the home button and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yet, the hardware internal hardware has been updated.
Has been updated. Yeah.
Now that's kind of more like what we're looking at with the resurrection. I'm going to be able to recognize you. In heaven, like new heavens, new earth, I'm gonna be able to recognize you. I'm gonna be able to recognize Trevor, Larry. We're gonna look the same.
Are you sure Trevor's going to heaven? No, I'm kidding. That's messed up. I'm sorry. I mean, he doesn't know.
He's not here. That's why we're saying it.
Yeah, that's why we're saying it. So
he can take it.
That's funny.
But so. Another thing that, you know, the last thing that before we kind of wrap things up, you know, we, looking at those terms that the Latin fathers used, and I will defend this till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
They used a pagan's they used a pagan's philosophy to help give them language for what they knew was true.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that we in the church can like gravitate and grasp towards is like, you know, there's this thing called common grace that we all have.
Yeah.
That, you know, intelligibility and things like that, that we are smart, rational people because we do reflect God.
Mm-hmm.
And just because somebody has a different set of beliefs doesn't mean that they're not able to uncover some certain things about the universe and God that apply real and that fit in super well within Christianity. So because the Latin fathers used Aristotle, Paul used Aristotle. He quoted Aristotle. So like, just don't be afraid to like think, okay, well, how does like Aristotle fit into his philosophy? Does it fit into a Christian worldview? And, you know, just because it's not distinctively Christian doesn't mean it's wrong. Because, Aristotle gave us such good language for,
for the Trinity. He was doing what he was created for, which is, and he used
thinking
his brain.
Really hard.
He thought really hard. And of which, like, and then when you get even into your John 1, you know, in the beginning was the Word. That's
Aristotle. That's Logos.
Yeah, that's, so you're seeing, but yet language is always captured within its context, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so they're using language that they have around there, and they're not only just limiting it only to, they're using the language that's around to actually be able to explain what's going on. And that's one of the reasons why we even have new translations of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we are still staying faithful to the text, but we're trying to get people to be able to grasp these, you know, to grasp today. But yet at the same time, like, there are some words that probably have evolved where it in 1890 something, you know what I mean? Like, you could probably be in church and be able to use a word that today you can't use because it has evolved.
Well, I think of the word nice.
Yeah.
Nice, back in the day, it was not a good word.
Yeah.
And now nice for us is like, it has so many different meanings, but it's more of like this like warm, fuzzy feeling type thing.
Yeah.
But nice back in the day was like, no, you got called nice, that was fighting words.
Yeah.
Like,
there you go. but you see that. And it's just even like, for example, you know, there's some words that meant happy some time back, and now they totally meant something else.
Yeah.
And like, so language is taken and is used. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we blame these people, but yet they were really trying to, hey, how can we be able to bring into language this very thing that we're trying to understand.
Yeah.
We see God, we see Jesus, and we see the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We see that there's not one that is subordinate and there's not one who's superior or whatever. So then,
how do we make sense of this?
How do we make sense of this? And then so triune God, you know, obviously out of that, it's like Trinity comes out. So anyway, I digress on that.
That's
now like what really then allows us. There is no way you can live and be by yourself and be whole Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Bonhoeffer is going to say, beware of, like, there's two extremes. There are Christians who cannot be alone. Bonhoeffer is going to say, like, let he who cannot be alone beware, because then they are actually going to misuse community.
Yeah.
Like, if you were saved by yourself, you know, before God, you're going to stand as a... So everyone needs to confess Jesus as Lord individually, but he also turns it around again. Bonhoeffer always does this thing. Where he turns it, it says, let him who cannot be in community be aware or beware of being by himself. Because he's like, to a community you were born.
Mm-hmm.
to a community you were born. And so you're not just this lone individual. So,
yeah.
So which is the greatest apologetic for community is the Trinity.
Yeah.
Is the fact that God mm-hmm. exists in community. Who do you think you are that you can think you can live by yourself?
Yeah, and if we are made in his image, then we are supposed to be, we are made to be in community.
In community. Like, that's yeah. why solitary confinement is probably one of the worst. When you hear people that are like, oh yeah, you spent 20 years in solitary confinement. That's the worst.
Well, that's the worst, but yeah. it's like, you know, that hurts me thinking about, like, wow, who, like, so who was, obviously he was the only person in the cell, mm-hmm. but like not having that much interaction mm-hmm. at all besides yeah. like going to a checkup or something like that and finally getting to talk to a guard
yeah,
or talk to mm-hmm. the penitentiary, like physician, whatever, like whoever it was, like I can't even imagine that. But yet. There's other people. The cool part about solitary confinement is it gives you time to read.
Yeah. if you have books.
If you have, yeah.
If you're allowed books. Except Tom Hanks, when he's in an island, he ends up talking to balls. He ends up talking Mr. Wilson.
Wilson.
yeah. Do you remember that? What is that movie?
Castaway.
Castaway. That was sad, man.
That was sad. So, like, I'm thinking of David Wood.
Yeah.
Do you know David Wood?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... David Wood, one of the reasons, or one of the, like, pathways, or his, one, part of his, like, journey was being in solitary confinement,
mm-hmm.
in jail.
Yeah.
Mainly because he was in solitary confinement because he was trying to, like, one-up the Christian that was yeah. there by, like, mm-hmm. going one more day past his fast.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, he's trying to do something not good, so we're gonna, like, monitor him. But that gave him the ability then. Mm-hmm. To read the Bible.
Yeah.
And yeah. really wrestle
That's good.
With that mm-hmm. vertical because his mm-hmm. horizontal was so shattered.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
So.
That's good.
It's like, yeah, solitary confinement as a whole is not good, but in small, short little chunks.
Yeah.
Is super and can be super beneficial yeah. to us as humans.
Yeah. I mean, it's the discipline of solitude, which is.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
Which is good.
Which I'm reading Deep Work right now, too, so yeah. that's, like, that's fresh in my mind.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
So, yeah. Raphael, I'm really looking forward to the rest of the series and, like, working through
yeah.
all of that and just getting a refresher as to why we do certain things
yeah. Yeah.
within the church that are very foreign to just about everybody else.
Yeah. yeah.
So, thank you again. I want to remind you this is not a replacement for the Sunday sermon or getting involved in a local church. If you're in Williamsport, we would love to talk to you. We would love to invite you and include you in our community, get you plugged in, get you serving. But if you're not, we encourage you to find a church to be invested in. So with that, Raphael, thank you so much for the rest of... Or for this conversation, and for helping plan this whole thing. And next week, have a good graduation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Have a blessed week, guys.